So we're back out the live room, and it's a full house for Tom Baxter. Hello, Tom.
Hello. How are you doing?
Pretty well. And you've on your tour. We noticed you were in Barton on Humber last night, and then you're back in Beverley tomorrow. But now you've got here to Saltaire. So
yeah. Well, I've never been here before, and we were just talking about it, just saying really, I love these venues. Actually, the fact that they're being kind of revitalised with music, fresh music, new music, you know, is what is it? I presume it's an old social club or an old working men's club or something. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, they're always really nice because you imagine there's probably a lot of brilliant stuff's come through these places.
Yeah.
And they went out of fashion for a while, didn't they?
But
my mum and dad did a lot of these clubs when they were on the folk circuit when I was growing up. Mm. So they did tours and we were away doing these sort of places. Yeah.
So. Yeah, so you've got quite a musical family, sister and brothers, or brother, or is it brothers?
Yeah, well, like I said, my parents were a folk duo, and then my older brother looks after our sort of business management. He's a drummer, actually, but he doesn't do that much anymore. And then there's me, who I suppose was the first one to have some sort of success in music, and then my younger brother, who then... He worked with me for a while and then he went on to work, become a really big star in France. Mm. His name's Charlie Winston. And then there's my sister as well, who, she's a beautiful songwriter as well, but she hasn't really had any sort of, groundbreaking success, but I think she deserves it because I think she's great. But I think, she's had two kids, so that's changed things a bit for her. But she's coming on tour, actually. I've got a few more dates with the support here, and then my sister comes on tour with me, and she gets up on stage and sings a few songs as well, which is really nice. Yeah.
And the tour have been going well with the new album, The Other Side of Blue?
Yeah, it's been great. I went and played Ireland first, and I've got a very strong following there because... The last major release I did there did very well, and that was great. I mean, this was just always lovely audiences there. They're very kind of quite rowdy and up for a bit of a laugh, which I like. And then we got here, started in the UK yesterday. So really, we just sort of had a short break and starting again, jumping back and forth back to home. To see my newborn baby when I can, in between it, So, yeah.
We're always interested in the production side of the album, and 10 years ago with Skybound, you had Sylvan Records. So has the production this time been linked with them, or completely different?
Yeah, Sylvan Productions is my own label, and the second album was done... I set up that label just because I did the first record with Sony, which is called Feather and Stone, and I've never been able to get that record back off them. So it's very frustrating because every time I want to sell a CD, I have to buy a CD off Sony for £7, and then I sell it for £10, and after all my tax and VAT, I'll probably make £1.50, and then... And everyone else takes a cut from that, manager's accountants, you're left with about 70p. So generally, I set up the label for that reason, but actually, consequently, since then, I have licensed the record, but it just means that I actually get Skybound, the second record, back next year off EMI. And then the other two records, which came out after that, which is The Uncarved Block and The Other Side of Blue, they've both coincidentally come out this year because I managed to get some good deals for them so that I license them for a few years and then I get them back. So what was your question? I've lost my thread. I don't know whether I'm just rambling on. Sylvan Productions, so they're all on from the second record, they're all on Sylvan Productions, but they're licensed out and they in varying degrees of time.
You've had one song at least on soundtrack for a film, And then also you played at David Graham's funeral. That must have been quite an experience, really.
Well, it wasn't actually his funeral. It was It was the unveiling of a blue plaque in memory of his life. Like ones they put in the. It was somewhere up north. I don't know where actually. I should remember, but I was invited to go to that. Just mainly just because his surviving partner wrote me an email to tell me that he really liked my music, and actually it just happened that on the day that he passed away he was listening to my music. So she asked would I come and play, which I was really happy about because I was very familiar with David Graham from my dad, who was a massive fan, and I knew how much he'd influenced a lot of the greats, from Paul Simon to Led Zeppelin and John Martin, people that I admire, and Nick Drake and so on. So I went and did that a couple of years ago, and then wrote a song to commemorate his memory for me, and what he meant to me as a young boy at the age of 13 learning Angie, that song Angie. That was the first song I learnt on the guitar. And I used to sit listening to the records, that record Folk Blues and Beyond, sort of again and again and again. And because I think my dad was such a big fan, it was just very poignant for me that I was playing his event, and somehow he liked what I did. So it was a massive compliment for me, but also just nice for me to learn a bit more about David Graham, because he's a very interesting man. Who never really was interested in fame or success, or he was just interested in having integrity, and I believe in that. That's what I try and sustain with my music. I mean, I'd probably be a lot richer if I didn't. But
integrity does lead us into some uncomfortable places, and they often say that folk music is sad and confessional music comes from suffering and so forth. But you're now in a better place in your life. You're happily married. You're a dad. I assume you may have a community around you in London that you actually enjoy being part of. Do you think your music can shift a little bit and cope with some themes about the satisfactions and fulfillments of life?
Yeah, I mean, there are songs on the record, this new one, that celebrate that. Songs like In Your Hands and Where the Wild River Runs, which talks about the ambiguity of life's journey, the way that things don't always go necessarily the way you want them to, or you like the twists of fate. And I try to sort of pepper the album with a bit of both, but I think there's always... the way I write is I reflect on lots of things that have happened in my life. I'm not very good at writing in pain. I'm much better at writing when I'm feeling better, looking back at pain. And so, so I'm probably in a place now where I'll still probably do the same thing, which is write songs about suffering and joy, because they're all part of the same thing, aren't they? I suppose they're all just part of life, you're trying to balance out how to cope with that reality of life, which is life can be very hard sometimes, and it can be incredibly lovely as well.
And is any of that writing collaborative? Because some of the recent stuff you've said is very much yourself presenting Myself Alone.
Well, there's actually quite a lot of collaborations on the most recent one, The Other Side of Blue. Not intentionally, it was just because just over the last few years I was sort of asked to write with different people, and you have this, end up with this big catalogue of songs which just sits there, and I just chose some of the ones I liked and put them on the record. But I've written for different people over the years, and I suppose last year the last one I did was with Gary Barlow for Take That. I did a couple of tracks for that, the new album, and then I've done stuff, going to the other spectrum side of things, there was one of the Shirley Bassey albums I wrote for, and then other boy bands who have covered my work or but it's a strange thing. I'm really very much writing music for myself, really. I don't intentionally think I'm going to sit there and write music and just listen to myself. I mean, I write for the purposes of trying to express what I feel, I think everyone else must be feeling, but probably not saying, or trying to articulate that in a crystallized form of a 3.5 minute song. So I find that a challenge, the sort of the puzzle of trying to put together an emotion and crystallize it, into a song.
Also written a book to goes alongside one of the CDs, isn't it?
Well, it's just the book that's on sale at the gigs and stuff is really just a kind of an addition to the Skybound record, which it talks about the making of it. And I did loads of artwork. I did like 10 canvases, which sold and raised about 45,000, and we did it for Amnesty International. And that was a really good project, so I thought the book deserved to be there to be able to explain that a little bit, because a lot of people don't know about that. And because I come from a background of fine art painting, that's one of my, I mean, it's the thing I'm always thinking that it's the thing I want to be doing, but I never seem to have time to do it. So I always think I'll do that when I'm retired or something, but I'd like to incorporate more of my passion for art into my music, but maybe on the next one I'll do that. My plan was to do some sculptures, and that's a whole other project. But anyway, yeah. So the book talks about the making of the record and the guys in the band, and what, you know, they write about our working relationship and the history of themselves. And I like that when I pick up records and I get to read about the different members of the bands. You know, whether it's listening to, you know, like, I don't know, like reading about the Eagles or reading about Dylan and the band, or I want to know about those people playing on those records, or, you know, Curtis Mayfield and who he played with, and, you know, Marvin Gaye and who was producing the record. And I'm a big fan of the album, although everybody tells me that the album's dead in the modern form of digital music. But for me, I don't know, I think it's like a novel. I think you put together something that is complete and then you let go of it. I mean, for me, I can't get my head around the idea of just putting out one track or random tracks, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's bearing in mind that we're of a generation now that's just changed dramatically, you know, from how people consume music. I don't really understand it, if I'm honest. I mean, I tell a story tonight about just how little money I earn from all the digital streaming. People are shocked, you know, how many times you have to play a record before you can buy a packet of nappies, you know? So it's a changing time, but I suppose, you know, like all these things, you have to, you know, you've got to sort of try and find ways of navigating that and making it work. You know, I suppose in a way it's a bit like being like a carpenter and having a trade, and then suddenly the Industrial Revolution happens and then they can do it all on machines. It's like that, that's how I think of it. You know, well, I don't know, I'll be, you know, when I'm gone, I don't know.
Well, you've got plenty of people supporting you tonight, coming to see you, so the future's bright, I think.
Yeah,
thank you very much, Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
Look forward to it.